Amen. The book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs, chapter 14. You can be seated. Proverbs 14. I want to tell you a story of my childhood, if I can, to introduce this passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at. I can't remember how young I was. I must have been fifth, sixth grade, something like that. I can't remember. But I do know that my dad, one time, I said I wanted to go into town, Pontiac, Michigan. And so I go into Pontiac, the town of Pontiac. And my father, he said, now, remember, you live next to the railroad tracks. So I always thought, okay, so I just need to make sure that I am following the railroad tracks. And he told me, so now in order to get home, he said, just stay close to the railroad track. And that still amazes me to this day that as young as I was, and again, that tells you about a little bit of the difference of time in which we live, that he let me do that. And so I thought, well, okay, so I'll just, you know, right down here, the railroad tracks, now go. So did what I was doing in Pontiac. I went to where the railroad tracks were, and I thought, all I got to do is follow it. But when I followed it, there was a break. There was a branch of tracks going this way and tracks going that way. And I thought, okay, now what do I do? So I thought, well, I'll go ahead and, you know, I'll take this one. This looks a little bit more like what I would think would be the best way to go. And the next thing I knew, I was way on the other side of town. I didn't know where I was. And I remember I found a caboose, you know, that was there. And there was a guy in there. And I said to him, I said, I don't know how to get home. And so he called the police, and I did remember my address, and he brought me home, and I went to where I was. But the thing that I wanted to point out here in that story is how I thought I was going the right way, but I was really going the wrong way. Now, I want you to memorize two verses this morning. All right? How many of you think you can memorize two verses in the next few minutes? Okay, some of you think you can't. All right, maybe you can, maybe you can't. The first verse is in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. All right, can we read this out loud together? In our King James Bible, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, so there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, for the end thereof are the ways of death. All right, how many think you can try that? I'm not going to have you do it out loud in front of me, you know, by yourself. Let's try it, do it without looking at it, okay? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, for the end thereof are the ways, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, I got it wrong. There is a way, let's try it again. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I got it wrong again because I said the word that instead of the word which, okay? So let's try this again. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay? That's one verse. Let's see if we can do the other verse. Look at chapter 16 and verse 25. Let's see if you can memorize this verse a little quicker. Okay? You ready? It says, same thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, you have the word that there instead of the word which, but it's the same thing. So, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And just like I thought I was going the right way to get home, actually it could have been very devastating if that person in that train had been a dangerous man. But he wasn't. He called the police and I was able to get home. And it could have led to my death if that would have been the wrong kind of situation, because there was a way that seemed right to me, but the end of that ended up being very devastating to me. Okay, so let's say the verse together. Let's do the first verse in chapter 14. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, and thereof are the ways of death. Now, I used the word that, didn't I? So it's which, all right? But there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So I want to this morning to preach on the ways, the way of mankind. The way of mankind. And again, I could have easily, using the text as the reason why I would title the sermon, The Way of Man, but really we're not just talking about just men as opposed to women, we're talking about humankind. And there is a way which seemeth right unto a man or a woman or a child or an adult, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Three things I want you to see. First of all, we're going to see the direction of mankind. The direction of mankind. Secondly, we're going to see the deception of mankind. The deception of mankind. And then thirdly, we're going to see the death of mankind. The death of mankind. So we see, first of all, the direction of mankind. And we see that very simply there. There is a way. There is a way. And of course, the text is making it very clear this is not God's way. This is a way that is taken by man. Now, what ways do we possibly go? Well, first of all, it could be Satan's way. Satan has a way for you. Satan wants to destroy you. Satan wants to manipulate you. Satan wants to twist your thinking. And the ways of Satan are very, very deceptive. We're told in the scripture that the Apostle Paul mentions in 1 Thessalonians 2:18 that he wanted to go and do certain things, but he said, but Satan hindered us. And then in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he said Satan wanted to take advantage of us because he said, I am not ignorant of Satan's devices or the way Satan thinks. Now, the reason why many people fall into Satan's traps is they don't understand their enemy. And the scripture makes it clear that Satan has a way in which he thinks. Now we know, according to the scripture, that he tries to manipulate us. And I was telling Patrick when he finished his Sunday school lesson, I said to him, you just taught my sermon this morning. Because he was pointing out 1 John 2:16. Do you remember that? 1 John 2:16. Now maybe you would know it in its context. Love not the world, verse 15, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But then verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, do you remember what it is? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are in the world. And the world passeth away in the lusts thereof, or the desires thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Now, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the lust or the pride of life, these are Satan's ways to destroy you. Do you realize that? Now, of course, Patrick mentioned that this morning, but it's important that we understand how he does that. He does that by trying to take advantage of our desires. The desires or the lusts of the flesh, the lusts or the desires of the eyes, or the pride of life. Now, he did that with Eve, right? In the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And the scripture tells us that in chapter 3, I believe it's verse 6, it tells us that Eve saw that the tree was good for, you know, food. It was pleasant to the eye, and it would make her wise. Now, notice right away. Now, what's interesting about Eve is she had no sin nature. And so it wasn't like Satan was trying to get her wrong impulses going, but God had given her a free will. And people have natural desires. And it's interesting because Eve had a natural desire to eat food. She also had a natural desire to look at things that were beautiful. And she had a desire to want to improve herself. And yet Satan used those three areas to cause her to go against what God had said. What did God say? Of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And for in the day that you eat of it, you're going to die. So what did Satan do? Satan played games with her. These were his devices. The lust of the flesh is the desire to unnecessarily or unlawfully satisfy a physical craving. And that's an interesting thing because obviously we all have physical appetites. And this is exactly what Satan was trying to get Eve to do, because she had a natural appetite to want to eat. And so therefore, he said to her, look here. God is depriving you of eating something. And of course, when she saw that it was good for food, she did what God told her not to do. When she looked at the tree and saw it was beautiful to look upon, now who made it beautiful? God made it beautiful. And there was nothing wrong looking at it, but it was wrong for her to let her desires for it, because of her hunger, to eat of it. And then, of course, the scripture tells us that, because she saw that it made her, she saw it was something that she would want, she went after it. And she sinned. The third thing is it would make her wise. But if you remember what Satan said to Eve, he said it will make you to be as God. And she went beyond her human curiosity to do that which is wrong. And so we find that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life was used by Satan to get her to do wrong. Now we see another illustration of that, don't we? And that's in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was tempted. Now, of course, Jesus, as Eve, was not sinful. So there was nothing wrong in Jesus' nature. He did not have a sin nature. And yet, what does Jesus do? The Bible tells us he was in the wilderness fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. So Satan comes along and tempts Jesus and says to him, you know, if you would take these rocks and turn them into bread, you can you know, you're the Son of God, you can do that. What was Satan doing? Satan was causing or trying to put before Jesus to do something he should not do, such as it was not God's will for him to eat at that point because he was fasting for God. But what did he do? He said, okay, if you'll turn this into these stones into bread, you can do this. So it was an attempt by Satan to cause Jesus, because of his natural desire to eat, to sin. Then we're told that Satan took Jesus and said, look at all the worlds, all the riches of the world. And when you look at the riches of the world, just bow down and worship me and I'll give you all of these things. And of course, that was not right. But the interesting thing is, he tried to use Jesus' eye gate to get him to sin. And then thirdly, Satan takes Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple, very high. And according to Malachi, we're told that when the Messiah comes, he was going to, the angels are going to take him up. So in other words, Jesus, jump off the temple. And when you jump off the temple, the angels, according to the fulfillment of Scripture, will take care of you. Isn't that what the Bible says? Satan says to Jesus. What was he appealing to? He was appealing to the pride that Jesus didn't have. But yet, he was playing with the temptation to have that which he should not have. Now, obviously, Jesus does not yield. Eve does yield. But what do we find? That you and I have a sin nature. We all have lusts or desires of the flesh. We have desires to eat. We have desires for sex. We have desires to be healthy. We have desires that would want to preserve ourselves. And what does Satan do? Satan comes along and tries to get us to do the wrong thing in order to satisfy our physical cravings. So as a result, this is why people fall into gluttony. This is why when people are in immorality, sex is not wrong within marriage, but it is extremely evil outside of marriage. The bed is undefiled in marriage. It's honorable. But adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. So Satan tries to get us to do that. Drugs are that way. Why do people get hooked on drugs? You know, why do people get into marijuana? Why do they get into cocaine? Why do they get into these things? Well, many times they think, man, it makes me feel good. So Satan is constantly trying to get you to abuse your body. Cigarettes that way. You know, I'm watching people that I have grown up with die. Because when I talk to them about the dangers of tobacco, they said, he's just being religious. Now they're dying. And I had a brother-in-law and a brother just recently die because of tobacco. You know, it's an interesting thing. Alcohol is that way. People get hooked on that. You know, it's the same old devil. The devil is going to appeal to your physical tendencies. That is the way of the devil. And, you know, with our eyes, the desire to possess something that God has not given. So just like in the case of Eve with the tree and Jesus with the riches of the world and looking at all of those things, is the devil using your eyes? Now, Jesus said you'd be better off to go through life without an eye than to spend eternity in hell with both eyes. Now, the eyes are very interesting. You know, the eye channel There is this tendency to look at that which we ought not look at. And Satan is always trying to get us to look at things that we should not look at, such as pornography. He wants us to get hooked into that. You know, people get drunk with pornography. This is probably one of the major problems, men, you face. You know it. And the fact is, Satan wants to destroy you. And it's important. Now, it's not just men. Women fight with pornography. Some women do. And some men don't realize that. But you see, the accessibility of the internet, to watch programs that you should not watch, or to use women who are immodest and they're half naked. Satan is going to use women who do that. And it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus said if a man look upon a woman to lust at her in his heart, he's committed adultery already in his heart. And the pride of life. Interesting, when we think about the pride of life, we are actually considering the fact that this is an attitude of boastfulness and a hollow self-promotion for social prominence. You know, because of pride, we don't want to admit things. There are people who get angry at me. Why? Because they think they're right and I'm wrong. Now, sometimes I tease people and say, well, no, I'm just always right. But that is not true, is it? And the problem is, sometimes we, because of pride, do things that we should not do. And Satan is trying to destroy you with it by lying. Do you realize that many people, if not most people, think it's normal to lie? And yet, one of the Ten Commandments is that thou shalt not bear false witness. And why do they do that? Because they don't want to get caught. They don't want to be exposed. Religion is one of the greatest problems of mankind. Satan wants to get people so wrapped up in religion. Man, they can quote the verses. They can quote the person that they look up to. And they will quote these people. They'll quote their books. You ever try to lead a Mormon to Christ? You ever try to lead a Jehovah's Witness to Christ? You know, these folks are so well doctrinated that they will not, because of their pride, admit to the simple truth that only Jesus saves. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. So there is a way that seems right to a man, and that might be because of the way of Satan. It may be a friend's way. Not only the devil's way, but there's people that influence us. And their way is truly and genuinely sometimes the wrong way. Proverbs chapter 13, 20. You're in Proverbs. Look over chapter 13, verse 20. It tells us here that he that walketh with wise men shall be what? Okay, let's try this again. This is Proverbs 13, verse 20. Right, try this again. He that walketh with wise men shall be
wise,
but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And the interesting thing is that we find here is that ways of ungodly men are very, very dangerous. Let me give you an example of that. Look over to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 13, we have the account of a young man who was the son of David, and his name was Amnon. And in 2 Samuel, if I can get over there, 2 Samuel chapter 13, it tells us in verse 1, it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. So she was a good-looking girl, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, we know that this love was lust, because we're told that after Amnon violates her, verse 15, he hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. In other words, he had lust for her. So he was lusting after his sister, his half-sister. Verse 2, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for her to do anything to her. But Amnon had a
friend.
Ah. Now that little expression, but Amnon had a friend. Say that with me. Amnon had a friend. Say it again. Amnon had a friend. Now Amnon was truly bothered by the beauty of his sister, but it wasn't until he had a friend that he was encouraged to go and do more than he should have gone to do. And we're told in verse 3, his name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, to Amnon, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on the bed, make thyself sick, and when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon does that. And the king came and said, I hope you're doing better. And the king, and Amnon says to his dad, I'd like to have you send Tamar. And the scripture tells us that Amnon did a terrible thing to his sister. What did he do? He raped her. Why did Amnon rape his sister? Well, obviously because he had an inclination to do so, but his friend encouraged him to do the wrong thing. You know, if you are not careful, you will be living the agenda of your friends. You know, there many of girls have lost their virginity because of the persuasion of a wicked boyfriend. Many of people have done the wrong thing. Why? Because they have followed the advice of wicked friends. And there is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And what are those ways? Sometimes it's the way of the devil. Sometimes it's the way of a friend. And by the way, this is why it is important to have godly friends. If your friend does not read his Bible, number one, if he's not saved, he doesn't read his Bible, maybe look at him as an evangelistic opportunity, but do not become their close friend. Do not allow wicked people to influence you to think the wrong way. So, it may be the devil's way. It may be your friend's way. But it also may be your own way. And the fact is, there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 53. And let's go over there, Isaiah chapter 53. And one of the interesting verses in the Bible are mentioned right here. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, and it tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his what?
Own
way. Now the Lord, thankfully, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, Romans chapter 7, verse 16, tells us a very interesting thing. It tells us that that which is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. See, in my flesh, we're not like Adam and Eve. We're not like Jesus. So when Satan comes along and tempts us, we already have an inclination for the lust of the flesh. We already have an inclination for the lust of the eyes. We already have an inclination for the pride of life. So it's interesting that as we see in 1 John 2:16, we have desires that are contrary to God, and our flesh draws to that. And this is why Eve listened to Satan. This is why Amnon listened to his friend, because their personal desires were inclined to do the wrong thing. Now, Eve, she wasn't inclined, but she did have that free will. See, the Bible teaches us that our flesh is a liar. Can I say that again? Your flesh is lying to you. You know, it's interesting because we're told in Ephesians 4:22, the Bible describes our deceitful lusts. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And we find that the Scripture makes it very, very clear that our flesh is lying to us. So there is a way. There is a way. It could be Satan's way. It could be your friend's way. It can be your own way. And truly, there's things that Satan knows that certain people do anyway, so he doesn't even have to bother them. That is the direction of mankind. Mankind is directed to go to ways that are contrary to God. And I have just described you. There is a way. But I want you to see, secondly, not only the direction of a man, I want you to see the deception of mankind. The deception of mankind. Because what does that verse say? You memorize it. There is a way which what? Seemeth unto a man to do that which is right. There is a way that seemeth good unto a man. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. And what's interesting about that is that it seems right. See, the problem, the reason why you fall into Satan's path or in your friend's path or in your own sinful path is because it makes sense to you. Have you ever reasoned in the wrong way? Have you? Now, I want you to be honest with yourself. Now, if you're going to say no, then you're lying. Because I know I have. Now, some people think they're never wrong. But the fact is, sometimes you reason the wrong way and you think about it and you later realize you were wrong. I remember years ago, we were trying to decide as to the best path to pay off our building debt, which we have, by God's grace, done now. But what's interesting, I remember we had some kind of a men's meeting. And I remember I came to that men's meeting with, I had a great scheme. Okay, this is what we should do. And I presented it. And one of the men said, "Pastor, I don't think you're thinking that right." Well, why? And he pointed out mathematically, I had overlooked something. You know, that's kind of, you know, at a point like that, you have to eat humble pie, right? You have to say, man, I was wrong. And, you know, and we go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6. I want you to go there. And I'm taking you to a few places this morning. 2 Samuel, chapter 6. And I want you to see, there was a guy named Uzzah. Now, how many know about Uzzah? Raise your hand. Okay, maybe a handful of you. The Bible tells us that David was given direction, I mean, was inclined to bring the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. And the Scripture tells us that while David was bringing this Ark back, they had, according to verse 6, when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of God, took hold of it, for the oxen shook it, verse 7, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him for his what? See, this cost Uzzah his life. He thought he was doing a good thing. You know, here he is, he has this Ark of God on his cart, and he's riding along, and it hits a bump, and he thought he did the right thing. He reached back to balance that. God killed him. You ever wondered about that? Well, the interesting thing about that, his motive was right. His intentions were right. But he had desecrated the holy Ark of God. And God took his life. You know, the interesting thing is, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Right? So we somehow think, well, you know, if I do this, that would make everything okay. Why? Because that's what I think. You know, if you talk to people about the things of God, and they'll say, one of the first two words they'll say, well, I think, and they tell you what they think. You know, there are people who think they can go to heaven by doing good works, right? There are people who think that. And they, in their mind, think, I don't care what you say, preacher. I don't care what the Sunday school teacher says. I don't care what so-and-so says. I think that if you do the best you can, you'll go to heaven. That's what they think. And there's a way that seems right to them. And yet Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, many will say to me before the judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We preached. Have we not cast out devils? We have committed exorcisms. Have we not done many wonderful works? We have done miracle works. We have done miracles. And what does Jesus say? Then will I say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Why? I never knew you. See, they think that what they are doing is right. And to me, that's one of the most sad verses in the Scripture, to think there are going to be people who go to hell because they thought a way that is not right. That's deception. You know, I find it interesting that, you know, there are people who think they can get through their day by not having their devotions. You know, someone accepts Christ, and they think, and I thought this for a time, that, you know, man, now I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going to make my personal time with God important. And they think that's okay. And the fact is, it's devastating for you to do that. You know, there are people who think that it's okay to not go to church. You know, people think that. I mean, they really think that. It's mind-boggling that people think they don't need the fellowship of Christians, they don't need to be exercising their spiritual gifts, they don't need the accountability of a pastor, and they think that's okay. But that is self-deception. Because the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You know, there are people who think that they're better off by not going to a person that offended them. People actually think that. You know, if I go and confront somebody who's offended me, and I am all hateful and angry at them because of what they did, but I don't need to go to them because they'll just get mad at me. Now, they think that's the biblical way to deal with problems. And yet Jesus says if a man be overtaken, if a man sins, go to that man. Right? As if Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. You know, some people think they can watch bad programs on their television or on the internet and it won't have any effect on them. They think that. They really think that. It seems right to them to go ahead and do that as if that would have no impact at all on them. And yet, the Scripture tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the Bible tells us that that is going to make an impact on your life. Some people actually think they can cover their sin and still prosper. You know, they think they can do wrong and never have to answer for it. Now, it may not be in this life, but in the life to come, they are going to answer for their sin. You see, folks, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. So we see the direction of a man. The direction of a man, it may be the direction of Satan, it may be the direction of a friend, it may be the direction of their own sin nature. But there's a deception to that. And that deception, it seemeth right. And it seems right. You know, it's interesting that Judges chapter 17, 6, God says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Deuteronomy 12, verse 8 says, you shall not do whatsoever is right in your own eyes. There's that deception. The third thing I want you to see is the death of mankind. You see, there is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the Scripture makes it very clear that there is going to be destruction. And it is going to have a negative impact on you in your life when you do that which is right in your own eyes and not in the way of the things of God. And of course, the Bible speaks of physical death. You know, I'm sure that young lady that went into the Capitol building the other day and got killed didn't plan on that. You know, sometimes we do things because of a crowd or because of the influence of somebody else. And it could take our life. We might race in that vehicle against somebody else and think, oh man, this is cool. It could cost us our life. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that the wages of sin is death. You know, it could be physical death, but it also could be spiritual death. And certainly, all it takes for one man to sin is to have, or to go to hell is to commit one sin. And yet, the Scripture tells us that we've all sinned. We not only sin by those things that we know are wrong and we go against them, but there are sins that we commit that we should do and we don't do. He that wants to do that which is right. And how does it say that in James? Okay, I'm going to have to go to the Scripture. If nobody knows the verse, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. I saved you some time. All right, so he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. So in other words, sometimes the things that we know we ought to do and we don't do them, that's sin. You see, the fact is, there is this spiritual death, and it really does affect us spiritually. And a person could literally go to hell because he went through his whole life thinking what he was doing was the right thing. But there's also other kinds of deaths, isn't there? There's death of your marriage. There's the death of your health. There's the death of your finances. There's a lot of deaths that take place in a person's life. Why? Because they thought what was right was okay. But the end thereof always leads to death. Now, Jesus Christ died for us, didn't he? He paid the full sufficient payment for how many of our sins? All our sins. 1 John 1 tells us, so our past sins, our present sins, our future sins, Christ died for our sins. And that's one issue you better not get wrong. Because you may think that you can get to heaven with someone else but Jesus Christ. But Jesus said there is none other way under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It says that in Acts. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we know that we need to accept Christ as our Savior. Why? Because it can lead to death. Now, let me just take you to the book of Proverbs. This will be the last verse I'm going to take you to. So how do we prevent this from happening in our lives? How can we prevent from allowing the things in our life that are deceiving us, whether it be the devil or whether it be friends or whether it be ourselves, how can we prevent that from happening, from destroying us? All right. Everybody there? Proverbs chapter 3. Notice verse 5. Can we say this together? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. All right, so the Scripture tells us the way to prevent self-deception is to trust in the Lord with all our heart and don't lean on your own understanding, because your ways can lead to death. Now, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what will he do? He'll... Okay, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. And the Scripture tells us that how can we keep from falling into self-deception? Well, we have to trust in the Lord. So what does that mean? That means that we need to be in the Word of God. So I want you to think about this. The basis for my belief system is right here. And if it says something, it doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what my friend says. It doesn't matter what I think. I have to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not into my own understanding. So this is why at the age of 16 I accepted Christ. Because someone pointed out to me that, you know, doing good things is not going to save you. And at the age of 16, I saw myself as a sinner, absolutely powerless to lift a finger to save myself. And I recognize that Jesus paid the full payment for my sin on the cross. And that the Scripture says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not by works of righteousness, which I have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. For by grace am I saved through faith, that not of myself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we could go on and on and on with that. But I recognized that, you know what? If I am going to go to heaven, I'm going to have to do it the Bible's way. Then after I got saved, you know, you start hearing certain things, such as evolution. You know, evolution says, oh, you know, this is how over billions and billions of years the earth formed and so forth. And yet I go to Genesis chapter 1 and I see that God created the earth in how many days? 6 days. On the seventh day, He rested. Now, there are people who say, well, that means that each day is a period of time and so forth. But when you study the Scripture, it doesn't say that. So as a result, I have to quit leaning on my own understanding and acknowledge what He says. And if it doesn't make sense, okay, let's go to the Scripture, because the Bible always is true. The Scripture says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, then I realized, you know, going to church was important. Because I thought, you know, I'll go to church whenever I feel led to go to church. And somebody showed me Hebrews 10:25, to not forsake the assembling of myself together as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And someone said, well, yeah, but I can just listen to it on the internet. Well, it's not the same thing. Now, if you have to do that, that's one thing. But if you don't have to do that, it is wrong to not assemble with believers. And so I go to the Scripture and I see, well, man, I'm to be faithful in church. Well, that settles it. You know, I realize standards in my life. I was thinking wrong about standards. I used to argue with my brother about standards. And I said, well, I think, and he'd take me a Scripture. And really, what I found is that when I go to the Scripture, I find out what's right to watch. Do you know that? And what's wrong to watch. I go to the Scriptures and I find out what I should wear and what I shouldn't wear. I go to the Scripture and I find out what I should listen to and not what I think I should listen to. I go to the Scripture. I find out what kind of friends I ought to have. And I don't just base it on my own thinking. I go to the Scripture and I find out what jobs I should take. And what kind of career I should be involved in. Now, obviously, everyone has a different career. But I know it'd be wrong for me to take a job that's going to cause me to lie. That's going to cause me to steal. You see, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And the only thing that can save me from that self-deception is God's Word. And our sanctification, not only our salvation, but our sanctification is through God's holy word, our Lord. We thank you so much for giving us this time that we've had to get into your word. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Father, for teaching us the ways that are right. Help us, Lord, to not necessarily even be influenced by friends who say the Bible says, and yet the Bible doesn't say it. And I ask that you would guide and direct us. Help us, Lord, to know that there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Help us, Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts and to lean not into our own understanding and in all our ways acknowledge him and acknowledge you, knowing that you shall direct our paths. Help us, Lord, to not be wise in our own eyes, but to fear the Lord and to depart from evil. And we thank you for all that you do. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet as the pianist plays. If God is dealing with your heart and you need to come, we'll only have one verse. If God is not speaking to your heart, we'll close the invitation. But if you need to be saved, we'd love to show you how you can be 100% sure when you die, you can go to heaven. Or maybe you just need to get right with God because you know in your heart you are doing what God's word says not to do. And whatever your need may be, if you need to come as the pianist plays, you come.